Seamount closed his mouth, and his eyes narrowed as he recognized the gentleness and something very like regret in Rockpoint's tone.
"Yes, Admiral?"
"Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've just said Commander Mondrain's gun crews scored 80% hits at a range of over 3 miles. Is that accurate?"
"Yes, sir,"
Seamount confirmed just a bit warily. "I assume this required favorable circumstances. I mean, clear weather for good visibility? A stable gun platform?"
"Well, yes, sir, of course. But even under less than ideal conditions, accuracy would obviously be greatly enhanced, and..."
"I realize that," Rockpoint said. "But here's the thing, Alfred. We're not going to have those ideal conditions at sea. Even under the best of conditions, both the ship and the target are going to be moving. In fact, they're going to be moving in several different directions at once."
"Of course, sir. But as I was saying, even if conditions are less than perfect, we'd still..."
"Alfred, who's going to be more likely to have conditions favorable for long-range engagements with these rifled guns of yours? A fleet at sea, like, say, ours, or a nice, stable, unmoving, solid stone fortress, like, say, one that belongs to the Group of Four, one that our ships might be attacking?" Seamount sat very still for a moment. Then his shoulders slumped. He shook his head, rubbing his eyes with one hand. At the end of his desk, Commander Mondrain looked equally crestfallen. If the subject matter had been even a little less deadly serious, Rockpoint was fairly certain he would have found it very difficult not to laugh at their expressions.
"I suppose we should have thought of that, shouldn't we?"
Seamount said finally, his tone chagrined.
"Obviously, this is something that's going to favor the defense more than the offense, isn't it?"
"I don't know that that's true in every case," Rockpoint demurred. "As you just pointed out, and as Dr. Mocklin pointed out, when he and High Admiral Lock Island and I first discussed this, your rifled guns are going to be more accurate at all ranges, including the ones at which naval artillery is already effective. That's nothing to sneer at. The problem is that in order to deal effectively with this new navy the Church is building, we're more likely to be attacking their anchorages than they are to be attacking ours. Or to put it another way, if they are in a position to attack our anchorages, we're probably already completely screwed. This is obviously something we want to pursue, but we've come to the conclusion that it's not something we want to actually put aboard ship. Not yet."
"I see."
Seamount's disappointment was still obvious, but he gave himself a shake and managed to smile.
"So what do you and High Admiral Lock Island, and Dr. Mocklin, I'm assuming, want us to do with this, sir?"
"We want you to continue to develop it," Rockpoint said crisply. "From what you've been saying, we wouldn't be in a position to put these new guns into production for some time anyway. It seems more likely to us from your reports that we'll be able to provide shells for the smoothbores much more quickly. So our thinking at this point is that we press ahead as quickly as possible with the smoothbores. In fact, it's been suggested that we look into producing Commander Mondrain's proposed heavy shell guns, possibly something with an 8 or 9 inch bore, specifically to fire the most destructive shells possible. That should give us a decisive advantage at sea, even without rifled artillery. At the same time, and under conditions of as much secrecy as possible, press the development of Master Hausman's rifled pieces hard. Go ahead and test them here at King's Harbor, where you can keep curious eyes at bay. Once you've come up with a workable model, we'll go ahead and put it into production as a shore defense weapon. If the gun proves practical as a sea-going weapon as well, we'll develop a naval carriage for it, too. But we'll hold it in reserve until either we know we're going to need it to defend ourselves, or we're in a position of such strength that revealing it to the enemy isn't going to be critical."
"Yes, sir."
"And in the meantime, Commander," Rockpoint went on with a flashing smile as he turned his attention to Mondrain, "High Admiral Lock Island and I have another little challenge for you and your purveyors of destruction."
Yes, Admiral?
If Seamount had sounded a bit wary a few moments before, there was downright trepidation in Mondrain's tone, and Rockpoint's smile broadened.
Oh, it's nothing too complicated, Commander, he assured the younger man. It's just that, as your tests have so thoroughly demonstrated, explosive shells are going to be extremely destructive. That being the case, and since your tests were so thorough and so professionally executed, it seems to the High Admiral and myself that you're the perfect man for our next project, figuring out how to protect or armor a ship's hull so that shells don't tear it apart.
His smile turned positively beatific at Mondrain's expression.
I'm sure you'll find it no challenge at all, Commander.